A specter is haunting the world.
The specter of communism.
Hello, comrades and fellow travelers. Welcome to this week's episode of The Specter, brought to you by the Young Communists of the CPUSA. This is Comrade Michael speaking to you all from the centennial celebration of the Communist Party USA in Cleveland, Ohio. Comrades have gathered from around the region today to celebrate our party's 100th birthday, in addition to other celebrations which have been taking place around the country since our 31st National Convention in June of this year. Today's episode will feature the two recently elected co-chairpersons of the CPUSA, Rosana Cambron and Joe Sims, in a discussion about the Communist Party USA and its answer to Lenin's call for the establishment of a party of a new type. The concept of the party of a new type was developed by Lenin in a pamphlet titled What is to be Done, which he wrote in 1901 and was published in 1902 in pre-revolutionary Tsarist Russia. This was a time when the social democratic parties of the world were widely Marxist in their practice and their rhetoric. They engaged in class struggle mostly in the form of trade unionism and parliamentary elections. The Russian Social Democratic Labor Party, to which Lenin and the Bolsheviks belonged to, which was founded in 1898, eventually gave way to the foundation of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, which represented the Soviet working class from the Russian Revolution in 1917 until the fall of the USSR in 1991. The Communist Party USA was one of the first parties to answer Lenin's call to establish a Communist Party in 1919. We were followed by the Communist Party of Britain, which was established in 1920, and those of Germany, France, Italy, and South Africa in 1921. I also believe that the Greek Communist Party, the KKE, was founded 1 year before us in 1918. Enjoy this week's episode, and please give us feedback and let us know what you think. Welcome to this week's episode of The Spectrum, brought to you by the youth of the Communist Party USA. Today's guests are the two co-chairs of the party, Joe Sims and Rosana Cambron. Joe Sims is from Ohio and is based out of New York City, and Rosana Cambron is from Los Angeles, based out of the Southern California district. Could you tell us a little bit about yourselves, Rosana?
I immigrated here when I was 6 years old to the United States, although I was a U.S. citizen because I was born at the border town. My mother was also a U.S. citizen, but I was still lived in Mexico. I've been in the movement since early on in my teens with various different kinds of struggles. Mecha in particular, and from Mecha I joined the Communist Party as knowing or feeling that this is the next step in a more permanent solution to changing what I felt is what I feel are unjust happenings in my world. So.
And what year did you join the party?
Well, I don't quite remember, but it was in the late 70s, 78, something like that.
When we were doing those kind of national and regional Marxist-Leninist schools.
I attended the Instituto del Pueblo, which was a week-long school. At that first year, I was only able to go to the weekend class because I was working. But even just those 3 days really opened up for me what was so important and gave me that hope that another world really is possible. And it just, for lack of a better way to express it, it just like opened up the heavens to me. I mean, literally, I felt that. So I've been in it ever since, mm-hmm. and I continue to have the hope because I understand it's possible.
And I can definitely identify with that sentiment upon joining the Communist Party, and how it's kind of, just you come to understand the world in a much better way than you ever had, before. And so, Joe, I understand that you're from Ohio like myself. I'm from Columbus, Ohio, but you're from Youngstown. How did you come to the party?
Well, first thing I would say is thanks for having us on the show. And the second thing I would say is Buckeyes Unite. I have been in the party since I was 16. I joined, I think it was 1974. I got a special dispensation from the state committee in Ohio because the age then was 18, so they broke the rules and let me in. So, you know, party of a new type has to be a little flexible. You can't be too rigid. And I'm a red diaper baby. I come from a long line of labor radicals and revolutionaries and communists, both on my father's and my mother's side, three generations. You know, the thing that radicalized me, I think the most, was after Martin Luther King was killed in 68. There was a little disturbance in my town. They, you know, burned down a record store and, you know, overturned a couple of cars. And they brought in the National Guard. They brought in the National Guard to the playground of the school that we were attending. It was Monroe School. It was no longer there. And so my buddies came and they said, Joey, the army is on the playground. So we ran up there, and sure enough, there were soldiers. And so we were sitting there, you know, on the tanks, talking to the soldiers, and my brother, older, brother Carl, came and he snatched me off the tank. And he said, get the hell off out of here. And he took me home, and he showed me pictures of children being napalmed in Vietnam. You know, he said, these are the people that are, well, you know, that made a big impression on me. But, of course, we were, you know, aware of the Black Panther Party, you know, Huey Newton and Bobby Seale and them, and they were our heroes. We had big pictures of Huey sitting with his shotgun and Bobby and the rest of them. And then my mom gave me, she could see I was interested in politics, and she gave me a copy of the manifesto. And those first... That first sentence, the first two or three, just rocked my world. You know, the history of all hitherto societies is a history of class struggle. And I've been committed ever since, you know. So I've been in the party for, I don't know, I guess around 40 years now. In Ohio, in college, and then in Washington, D.C., where I lived for a short time. I moved to New York in 85 and worked in the Young Communist League, worked for the New York District of the Party. I edited the Political Affairs, the Party's theoretical journal, for about 15 years and worked with the staff of the People's World. And then currently, at least prior to the convention, you know, I was working on the party website, coordinating our social media work, trying to build the relationship between the party and the press, because an important part of the Leninist idea is building the party around the press. So the issue that was kind of sketched out in What Is to Be Done. So the issue is, how is that applied in the age of digital media? What does that look like, you know? I remember at one meeting of the party leadership 7 or 8 years ago, I compared passing out the paper hand-to-hand, Shopgate distribution, whatever it might be, to organizing and spreading the word of the party online to, I compared the print work to a kite, you know, flying in the air, and online work to the Starship Enterprise, you know, in terms of the ability to reach, you know, large numbers of our people. Mm-hmm. So anyway, those two concepts of face-to-face work and online work are not at war with each other. We think that they should complement each other. And it's really important to do that as we build the fight against the Trump administration.
That's a very good point you make, and you had brought up Lenin's Party of a New Type. And, you know, we had our 31st National Convention just this past June in Chicago. We approved a new party program where we, you know, defended the principles of Marxism-Leninism. We talked, you know, we defended our stance on the Green New Deal, you know, green socialism, sustainability. We defended our stance again and renewed it on imperialism, you know, defending Cuba, Venezuela, et cetera, et cetera. But if we go back in time, You know, we know the Communist Manifesto was written and published in 1848 by Marx and Engels, but it was nearly, you know, more than 50 years later, that half a century later, that Lenin wrote What Is to Be Done, in which he called for a party of a new type, for the foundation of a communist party. And our party answered the call, not in 1902 when his pamphlet was published, but rather in 1919, after, you know, 2 years after the Russian Revolution. And so, you know, the first question I have for Rosanna is, how do you really feel, how do you think, you know, looking forward with, you know, now that we have two co-chairpersons, we have a newly approved party program, we're 100 years old now, you know, we're celebrating our centennial here in Cleveland. What does that mean that we're a party of a new type? What does that mean that we're a party for the working class and for revolution? And how do you see us playing that role as the Communist Party USA?
Well, I think, you know, our main role throughout has been about building unity, you know, and building consciousness. So when we talk about a party of new type, we have to talk about how do we do this anew, not that in the past was wrong, but how do we make the adjustments? How do we adapt to the new situations? When Joe was talking about social media, we have to embrace that. You know, there's all kinds of chats. You know, we have to embrace all that. We have to even develop a different language, you know, that speaks to young people. The hitherto, you know, phrase is not something that just anyone can understand. You know, for me, I had to look up every single word to be able to understand what exactly, you know, that first line was. Mm-hmm. Just because I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand. You know, I wasn't familiar with those words, mm-hmm. those languages. So I think that we need to make those kind of adaptations. And I always think back about what Darwin, a quote that I read about by Darwin that said, it's not the fittest that survives, it's the one that makes, it's the one who adapts to change. You know, I'm paraphrasing. But, you know, essentially it says, if you want to survive, you have to make the necessary adaptations to survive. Right now, one of the main concerns of younger generation is the environment. The party has to really focus on the environment, you know. But we also have to look to do, how do we strategically look at the environment? How do we, you know, and how we organize and all of that, you know. The elections are a key component of that. But how do we interlink them? You know, how do we help others understand that they're really linked and build that unity that we need for that fight back?
Yes, very good. And, you know, recently online and, you know, elsewhere with new members, you know, young and old joining the party, we often get asked about our vocabulary. You know, what is a specter? You know, the name of our podcast, mm-hmm. what is this? It's a ghost, right? And so I think we really need to be careful and not be too dogmatic or academic with our approaches, because that's not a working class approach to revolution or to socialism. And so, Joe, I would like to know, what did Lenin mean by a party of a new type in 1902? You know, we had the Russian Revolution in 1917. We're living in 2019 USA. It's not 1917 Russia. So we know times have changed. Global capitalism has shifted. Imperialism has shifted. And so can we still talk about the same party of a new type? And how are we, as the Communist Party USA, that party that Lenin referred to?
You know, it's a good question, because I think that there's been a problem, actually, in the interpretation of the party of a new type. And I think that there has been a tendency to interpret it narrowly and in a sectarian way. It's interpreted as an organizational issue. And that organizational principle is democratic centralism, you know, where everybody discusses and debates and makes a decision, and then, you know, unites. Everybody is obligated to carry out that decision, you know, which maximizes power if it is carried out. A small organized group can have enormous power if it at least theoretically functions on that basis. But that's a narrow concept, I think. And I think Lenin actually had a different idea in mind, and that is that in the first place, we are a working class party, you know? And that was kind of new in history. I say kind of new because there were other parties based in labor, you know, up until that point. But Lenin added a very particular concept to his definition of a party of a new type. And he said that it is a party which organizes the working class around the goal of building socialism, that it propagates socialism, and that unless the party explicitly does that in an organized way, the mass movement will remain in the realm of capitalism, you know? He said that the struggle for socialism doesn't develop spontaneously. But it's a little bit deeper, because what Lenin was actually saying is that this working class party has to base itself on scientific ideas, you know, that Marxism is a scientific idea. And up until that point, those ideas were brought to the working class movement by middle class intellectuals, sometimes capitalist intellectuals. But Lenin said, you know, times have changed. And what we need now are working class intellectuals. The working class people need to develop our own ideas, you know? And that we have to be our own theoreticians, you know? Nobody can hand it down to us from another class of force. And so two things happened. One, with the creation of the Communist Party, there was a merger between the intelligentsia and the working class, the radical intellectuals. There was a merger. But the other thing that happened is that it created the possibility for working class people to lead in every conceivable, possible way. And that idea is really, really profound. And so when I think about the party of a new type, I think about, you know, fast food workers, mm-hmm. and nurses and steel workers and people who work in auto and Uber drivers, everyday ordinary working class people seizing hold of these ideas deepening our knowledge of it and propagating and fighting for socialism on that basis. And when that happens, watch out, you know, watch out, because it's going to be a huge, huge thing. It has happened in the past, and I think now that the discussion of socialism has become kind of a common, everyday, ordinary thing, that's going to reemerge on a huge popular basis. And the challenge for the party is to seize hold of it, is, as Bobby Seale used to say, is to seize the time.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you bring up the times we're living in, and we call it in the party the socialist moment, which is a term I think you coined yourself in an article, but it definitely, I think we could agree that that's the time that we're living in. It's a time when people are talking about socialism because of candidates that have come forth, such as Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And so, especially millennials, people, you know, under 40 years old are excited about socialism. They're excited about Medicare for All and the Green New Deal. They're looking forward and really, you know, trying to change the system. But there tends to be a lot of disagreement on the left. There's many organizations on the left. There's many different traditions. And a lot of people that, you know, are hesitant about joining our party often say, you know, well, it's revolution or nothing, right? You know, I'm here reading Marx, Engels, and Lenin, and they're talking about revolution. It has to be, you know, now or never. But Rosanna, you traveled to Greece last year to attend the International Seminar of Communist and Workers' Parties. So you were in contact with all, you know, most of the communist parties and workers' parties of the world. And you know, I bet you witnessed firsthand how I don't think any of those parties are in armed struggle right now. There's a few that have seized state power through armed struggle over the past 100 years or so, starting, you know, first with the Soviet Party, which no longer exists, the Cuban Party, the Vietnamese Party, Chinese Party. But what would you say to those who, you know, are hesitant to join our party because we're not dogmatic enough? We're not,
it doesn't seem to them that we are the party of a new type. What would you say?
I think, I've thought about this for some time, and I think what we need to do is be able to provide a way to look at things strategically. Once we begin to make an analysis, in a strategic analysis, not in an emotional, from the emotional level, but from our scientific level, looking at all of its component parts, looking at every piece, looking at history, looking at all of these kinds of things, looking at what, it's like getting the temperature of the room, but it's getting the temperature of the working class. And being able to be able to develop that skill to do that, then I think, people will come to the conclusion of, okay, this is, armed struggle is not the solution. Actually, in Greece, there was a fraternal party that said, they called for armed struggle. And because they said, that's the only way, we'll take power or something like this. And in my head, I'm thinking about other countries, especially, at that point, Latin American countries that the left had gained control through the elections, recently we just see Mexico as, it was all through the electoral process. I've spoken to people who've fought in the wars, like in El Salvador, and I asked them, what would you say to young people who are looking to, who think armed struggle is the solution? And very, very profoundly and with a lot of emotion, they tell me armed struggle is not the solution. It's an ideological battle. It's not an arms battle. That's not going to get you where. People do not like violence. Working people do not like violence. They want a peaceful transition. And so, but it's difficult because, capitalism has also injected us with this idea of, armed struggle and, where the Communist Party was this revolutionary. And we have these images of a physical fight instead of an ideological fight. And we're challenged to understand and to build that understanding that it's an ideological battle. It has always been an ideological battle. And the party in its last 100 years has fought an ideological battle. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's, those kinds of things are important to shed light on and have people understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with that said, recently we've also had articles written up on our website due to, all the mass shootings that we've seen in public. And we always reiterate that we're not against disarming the working class, but we are for a common sense gun reform. And I don't think we would rule out ever the possibility of, the masses rising up against a fascist regime if they started, locking up, Jews and African Americans and immigrants and the millions, as they did in Nazi Germany.
And I think it's really important to point out that it's a last resort.
Absolutely.
Just like a worker's going out on strike, it's a last resort. Nobody wants to not work and get a mm-hmm. paycheck, so it's also it's the very last resort.
Absolutely. And with that comes, my next question for Joe. Why is it that the party of a new type has to fight for reforms on the path to revolution? We see parties in our fraternal party in Chile, Uruguay, Venezuela, Portugal, Belarus. We see all these communist parties working in coalition with quote-unquote social democratic and neoliberal parties. And I've seen, many people on the left that critique these parties and call them revisionists. They dismiss them. They often forget that the Soviet Union had to work in coalition, in alliance with the United States and Great Britain and other capitalist powers to fight the fascist threat. So why do we, as the party of the new type here in the United States, why do we often work with progressive movements, social democrats, so to speak? And why do we not compare, let's say, a progressive social democrat such as Ilhan Omar with Trump? We often see people who say, oh, Democrats and Republicans are the same. But I think it's very unfair to compare, an immigrant Somali woman with progressive stances on, imperialism and healthcare and sustainability with a neo-fascist like Trump. What do you think?
Well, so the first condition of the party of a new type is that it's a party in which working class intellectuals must lead. And as Rosanna pointed out, the battle of ideas is a huge, important part of that. It's also the case that leading also means leading politically, leading in the struggle, everyday struggle for meeting the needs of our class, for work, for higher pay, for health care, for housing, you know, against drug addiction, against racism, sexism, homophobia, and so on and so forth. And Frederick Engels, who was called the general back in the day because he was a military expert, in his last preface to Karl Marx's The Civil War in France, he makes the point, he says that because of the introduction of the ballot in Europe, that the notion of storming the Bastille as the sole means of seizing power, he said, that's over. He says, it ain't happening no more. You know what I mean? That's not a, because he said that, well, voting was one thing, but also the introduction of new military technologies and the organization of the cities and so on and so forth made a military solution next to impossible. He didn't rule it out completely, but he said, look, y'all, that ain't the way, you know, this is going to happen. So you have to organize working class people around the issues that immediately affect them, and build a coalition on that basis. Look, the Bolsheviks built a coalition between the workers and the poor peasantry. They couldn't have come to power unless they were taking up those issues. And so in the period after the First World War, what were the demands that united the people? There was peace, an end to the war. It was land to the peasantry, redistribution of the land, and it was bread so that people could eat, you know what I mean? And that is the basis upon. So, you know, in the period after the Russian Revolution, there developed a big debate in the Third International about what, you know, revolutionary struggle meant. And there were a group, you know, led by people like Bela Kun from Hungary, who came up, Trotsky, you know, who came up with all these, you know, schemes about how the revolution was going to happen. Bela Kun called for something he called the theory of the offensive. Trotsky called for permanent revolution, you know. Lenin said, y'all need to stop that. The big thing that we have to do is build mass communist parties that fought for winning over the majority of working class people on the day-to-day issues that they are confronted with as a precondition for building socialism. And it was at that time that he put forward the United Front concept, you know? So you got intellectual leadership, you got organizational leadership, you got work on elections, you got the need to have to build mass communist parties, not small sectarian cadre organizations organized on the basis of democratic centralism, which is a caricature of the party of a new type, but rather mass working class parties that fought to win over the majority of working people in the struggle for a new society. And that's been the case ever since. We need to engage with some of these people on, you know, golly, what is revisionism, you know? And as far as we know, the classic definition is giving up on the idea of social revolution, saying that socialism will evolve through reforms only, giving up on the idea of working class power and a working class led state, you know, and not understanding what we call the centrality of the struggle for democracy and the fight for a new society, you know. And we understand the struggle for democracy broadly, you know, speaking, economic rights, social rights, addressing racism, addressing sexism, addressing homophobia, and coming up with concrete proposals to overcome it in the here and now. Otherwise, you ain't never going to get to socialism. So the idea of a new kind of a party, of a working class party that utilizes the United Front strategy as its main way of organizing people in the fight for a new society, whether it's fighting against those neo-Nazis and Ku Kluxes in the White House, or whether or not it's, you know, lending support to the Green New Deal, or whether or not it's fighting voter suppression. Whatever the case may be, we need a broad front, you know, of the people to make it happen.
Very good. Yeah, and, you know, this is so kind of regenerating, and, you know, it renews me to hear, you know, the two newly elected chairpersons of our party say this, just because, like you said, we see revolutionary and working class movements come to power, you know, vis-a-vis elections, not just like in Chile in 1970, which was destroyed by imperialism 3 years later, but, you know, we have Mexico, we have Lula in Brazil, we have the Nepalese Communist Party, which was just elected to power in 2017. Mm-hmm. But then we also, you know, have a section in our party's constitution that calls for our cadre to be active in the labor movement, because we know that radical change doesn't just come through elections, but rather, you know, in unions, you know, workplace democracy, et cetera, et cetera. And so are there any final thoughts either of you would have to say in regards to what our party is doing looking forward as a party of a new type, and what we're doing to not only, you know, combat Trump in, you know, the immediate future, but to ultimately replace the capitalist system in this country with socialism? Rosanna?
Well, no, I don't have anything to say. I'd have to give it some thought in order to be able to formulate it. But, you know, I just say join the party.
Join the party.
Yeah, we need you.
This is a hugely important thing that Rosanna said, because, you know, you can... I was talking to a buddy of mine about the situation in Jamaica, you know, because the party there was dissolved. And he made the, and hasn't been restored since. And he said, Joe, there are a lot of people who are in the party who are doing good work, great work, in a whole number of different areas. And that's hugely important. But Lenin's point was that you can do the most wonderful work, you know, exemplary work, genius work, but unless it is connected to an organized Marxist movement, party, it will only end up in the arena of the battle for reforms, you know? That's as far as it can possibly go. You have to consciously advocate for socialism, and that is ultimately the beginning and the end of the role of the Communist Party, you know? So Rosanna is absolutely right. You got to join the party, you know, to have the most strength, to be most effective. Your struggles and other movements will be great. They'll be important. We do not belittle them in any way, shape, or form. But if you want real change, socialist change, you know, it's the Marxist who are working class Marxists who are going to bring it about.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for joining me today on this episode of The Spectre. And I encourage all of you listening to join the party if you haven't already, and stay tuned for upcoming educational webinars regarding the Green New Deal, and also regional and national schools in which we will talk about Marxist, Leninist theory, among other issues currently facing the working class. So thank you all, and stay tuned.
Thanks, man.